This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Coach Jen from the other side of the studio in Ocala, Florida. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 5th, episode 716. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time to begin the week. We have a lot to talk about today. We have a lot of guests on the show. Just Jennifer and I today. Jamie is still in Georgia. For those that listened to the show last week, I wanted to give you a report right off the top here because I know some of you were wondering. Her dad had had a heart attack and then had surgery on Friday to correct whatever was wrong in there. I haven't gotten exact details on that. But she did text me this morning, and I asked how things were going, and she said, "From what I hear, he is doing better every day. I think he may go home today. To me, he looks frail and awful, but what do I know?" And I know exactly what she's talking about, and Jennifer, I know you do too, because when my parents were having their troubles with heart, you'd go in, and the doctor's saying, "Oh, they're doing great. They're going home." But to you, they just looked awful.
Right. Yeah. Well, from the doctor's point of view, all those little readouts and all those little tests are great. But yeah.
Yeah. As family, you know, they don't look like the person you're accustomed to, the jovial fun. And her dad is jovial and fun. So it would be a big contrast for her to see that. Apparently, her mom's been there taking care of the baby because she's not allowed to bring the baby into the hospital.
Probably just as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
getting all those germs and things too. And then, what was I going to say? Oh, apparently I saw pictures that she was eating at Waffle House over the weekend. So she got back to her southern roots while she was back in Georgia. And I don't think it was 3 a.m. So... it looked like she was actually there for
breakfast.
That
seemed to be plenty of, natural light in that photograph. So she's not going too far back.
Although there was a picture on Facebook of her and the baby Luke at a bar, apparently a bar that they used to frequent when they lived there with her family. So it looks like baby Luke is being indoctrinated already, not only into the lifestyle of a Air Force pilot, but also the bar lifestyle, which I think goes together, actually.
For all of those teetotalers out there and the temperance movement hangers on, you can take your baby to a bar, but you cannot take your baby to a hospital.
That's right. It's true.
The safer place at the bar.
That's true. That's funny. All right, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we go to Farrier Camp for a few minutes this morning and learn about horseshoe parts with Becky Bass from Centaur Forge. And next up, the most dangerous cowgirl in the world and co-host of the Western radio show, Tammy Sarantz, is going to stop by to talk about her There's No Stopping Me Now return to the competition arena. And providing the week's opening laugh track, Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation, is here. And happy first day of big hair humidity season here in Ocala, Florida.
Jennifer did come in with her hair very large this morning after being outside. It is hot and humid has now officially, we've had a great summer up to this point in Florida, but hot and humid has officially hit as of about this weekend. It was hot this weekend.
Yeah. You know it's humid out when you can feel how big your hair is. You can actually feel it standing out.
It did stand out about a half a foot.
Even your pony has the freaking... Yeah, and your pony has the frizzies. It's so humid.
Yes, his hair is a mess, actually. I got a pony story to tell you a little later on today, too. Our rescue pony did something, and I want to ask the listeners if they've ever had a horse do that to him. Did something I've never had a horse do before, so we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show as well. But first, it is Jennifer's Daily Whinny.
My Daily Whinny goes to Chelsea, longtime listener who took her first step into the 12-step program known as Horse Radio Network Fanatic by submitting her very first really bad ad ever over the weekend. And she dropped me a nice little line along with her link to her ad. And I would encourage others out there who listen to the show regularly, it's okay. There's no judgment here. Just go ahead, submit your ad. It's okay. We're here to embrace your habit. And Chelsea did a great job. We appreciate how brave you are.
I wanted to give, while you're on that, another shout out to Lindsay Roush, who said she started listening to the show a few weeks ago, and she's getting into all the podcasts and enjoying many of them, including dressage, even though she doesn't ride dressage. So that's a test of it right there.
It's okay. We will not judge. You can be a show jumper and enjoy the dressage show because Reese and Philip are hilarious and good fun.
That's right. Well, thank you to both of them.
They're the funniest dressage riders in the entire world.
And all our other new listeners, we've had a ton of people signing up for the new app, and that's happening as we speak. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people signing up for the new app, so we hope you take a moment and just go to the App Store, the iTunes or iPhone or Android App Store, and just search for Horse Radio Network. Don't search for Horses in the Morning. Search for Horse Radio Network. And all of the shows are under Horse Radio Network. Now it is time for my Daily Whinny. My Daily Whinny is gloating, ha-ha, to all of you. I picked the winner of the Hambletonian. Realty for Life was the winner, and I picked him on Friday. I'm the only one that picked the winner on Friday's show, and I have to say, I was kind of shocked when I saw who won, but, you know, I picked Royalty for Life because we used to have an acting company, and I played the king, so, and Jennifer played the queen, so we have always said we're Royalty for Life, and that, look, the horse won. This was a horse that was raised in Massachusetts, trained by Norfolk's George, I think, I don't know how to say the last name, actually, this actually, for the driver, Brian Sears, was his second win in 5 years at the Hambletonian. And I have the race here. So let's take a listen to it, and you can hear the race. Yep. You'll hear the difference in hoof beats.
The 88th Hambletonian
from Thoroughbreds.
Here they come. Hurrah, Smiling Eli blasting from the outside. Creatine, Royalty for Life, the favorite, leaves sharply from the inside. Spider Blue Chip right there on the inside with Corky getting away in fifth around the first turn. Highbridge to the outside sixth. Then it's Don't You Forget It, who settles in on the rail, followed by a perfect Yankee and Lauderdale, and Wheeling and Dealing is far back the trailer as they race past the opening quarter. Royalty for Life. And Brian Sears sets up shop on top here in 26-2. He paid the price there with a snappy opening fraction. Down the backstretch in the Hambletonian, it's Royalty for Life and Smiling Eli. Tim Petrick left, and he gets a pocket ride to pay off here. Spider Blue Chip is third now. Creatine on the outside lurking. He's fourth on the outside and fishing for some sort of cover. Corky fifth on the inside near the half. And then it's Highbridge. Highbridge looking to edge to the outside, and Don't You Forget It is next. And then it's a perfect Yankee with a Wheeling and Dealing to the outside. And Lauderdale the trailer. The half was 55 seconds. Rated half mile there by Sears. Royalty for Life. Coming after him now, Spider Blue Chip. Royalty for Life. Spider Blue Chip. And Pierce pouring it on there, applying some pressure. Smiling Eli will need some room. He's locked in the box right now, third, heading to three quarters. And Creatine getting closer, fourth on the outside. Corky is back to fifth on the rail, and he's gapping some. As a perfect Yankee is just 5.5 from the lead here. looking for room is Highbridge in between horses as they turn for home. Three quarters, 1:23 and three in the stretch of the Hamiltonian final for $1 million. Royalty for Life getting away now. He is accelerating with Brian Sears. Royalty for Life. Sears asking, and he's responding. And he leaves Spider Blue Chip in his wake along with Smiling Eli and Corky on the rail. Royalty is king of the Hamiltonian. Brian Sears, Royalty for Life. Smiling Eli, Corky third.
Woohoo! Once again, I just want to remind everybody that I picked the winner for this particular race. And I'll tell you what, their little legs get going really, really, really fast, those trotters.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah. It's just so weird to watch it.
It is weird to watch. And their legs just are going 100,000 miles an hour. Just whoa, 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 whoa. It just looks so much faster than the Thoroughbreds. They're not, but it looks so much faster. You know, one of the things you realize when you watch this, when you watch these races, when you watch the sulky and harness racing, is that you know how they talk about thoroughbred racing, how horses get boxed out and they can't get through. Well, that's a huge problem when you got a cart in the way. There was actually a horse on the inside rail that I thought was going to have a chance of actually overtaking Royalty for Life, but he couldn't get by. He just couldn't get enough room.
And there are rules about who can be where on the track at what period of time and things like that. But unlike thoroughbred racing, if they bump one another gently on the side, for example, a horse bumps into another horse's shoulder as they're galloping along, generally speaking, this happens without incident. If you touch wheels when you're harness racing, it always ends in disaster.
Yeah. It's like you saw in the old movies with the chariot races. It always ends like that.
Somebody could have a James Bond villain sulky racer.
That's
they drive along and they have a little button on the reins, and little spikes fly out.
They did that in Ben Hur.
Yeah, get right on that, Sasser Hill. Put that into your next novel.
Well, the couple things about this horse, the trophy was presented by Yankees general manager Brian Cashman, and he made the presentation of the trophy. Well, the owners are Al Ross of South Dartmouth, Massachusetts. So when the owner accepted the trophy, he said, "I'm accepting this on behalf of the Boston Red Sox." So that apparently created quite a chuckle in the audience. And, you know, he did take the lead about the first quarter pole and kept it all the way after that. And, you know, this is the 88th running of the Hamiltonian, and he basically ran away with it. So congratulations to all the connections of Royalty for Life. We'll keep an eye on that particular horse and see how he does from this point on. But it was an exciting race. And, of course, that was the second race of the day because they had to do the qualifying races, too. They had done three heat races, and then this was the second race of the day.
What was the final time of the race? You didn't tell us in this article, did they?
No, I don't think they did.
No.
It was 2 minutes because less than 2 minutes because that's what the recording length was that I had there. So that's how I can tell. Well, a couple things. One is we're back live tomorrow, so Tuesdays from now on we'll be here live, and we're hoping to get Thursdays up and running live here shortly as well. But tomorrow we have Rose from Equus Now will be with us in a once-a-month episode called Tack Talk. We're going to be talking products and tack and having guests on. It should be a lot of fun. And Rose, you heard her a couple weeks ago here on Horses in the Morning, and we just know her for a long time back to the 90s when we had our tack shop, and she's a trip. She's a lot of fun. She's very entertaining, and I think you're really, really going to enjoy her. Plus, who doesn't like every one of you out there reads tack magazines and tack catalogs, and you're always looking through the websites. So, and you're always trying to learn new things about tack and what's best, and you know what's the newest thing. Well, that's what we're going to talk about here on Tack Talk once a month here on Horses in the Morning with Rose from Equus Now. So, listen in tomorrow morning 9 a.m. We're going to be here live.
Woo-hoo!
Should be fun. Now, next week, we actually have Karen Chatton from, she is a professional endurance rider, and we're going to be doing the once a month endurance show here. We already recorded one interview. The girl was going to be off on her, on her way at another endurance ride next Tuesday. So we recorded that ahead of time. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Endurance ride. You think eventers are fun. Endurance riders are just the same. Because let's face it, they're out there. What they're doing is crazy, just like the eventers. So they have to have a certain personality. So I think you're going to find the guests on the endurance show to be a lot of fun.
They're like event riders without the extra tech.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
And with more, I would say with more bruising because, boy, 100 miles
no,
for 14 hours. Yeah, chafing.
Event riders have bruises.
That's
and
right.
Just, yeah.
That's good. That's
endurance
good.
Endurance riders have chafing.
Chafing.
I got some chafing yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You were out. Did you ride bareback? Or?
No, I made the mistake when I went out riding yesterday. I did not have tall socks on. I wore my bootcut riding breeches, which are my favorite, especially this time of year. And they have an extended knee patch, which goes down over your shin.
Oh, and you counted
but
on that, didn't you?
But because they're bootcut, yeah. the bootcut breech moves. It's not real tight down at the bottom. And I didn't think about that, and I didn't have tall socks on. So I have two rub marks on my shins that go through at least three of the five layers of skin. Yeah.
Well, before we get to we have a lot of news to cover from the weekend as well. But before we get to that and before we get to our first guests here, I just had to ask the audience, I had to ask you guys if you've ever had this happen. We brought Beaker over, we brought PT, my new little adopted Hackney pony, who is looking pretty well.
No, we didn't adopt him, dude.
We rescued him. My rescued pony. We bought him, but we rescued him too. Anyway, he's looking good. He's getting fatter and everything. And we brought him over and we gave him a bath because he was disgusting. He likes to roll and grind it in. He's one of those. So we gave him a bath before we took him out to ground drive him for his 10 minutes of ground driving practice. And we get him all cleaned up. We give him a bath. We shampoo him all over. And, you know, he's all clean. And we bring him over. He looked beautiful. He did. His white socks looked white, and, you know, he just looked spiffy. His coat is starting to look better now. Now that he's getting a little food, and all of his winter coat from last year has finally come out. So he is looking all shiny and spiffy. And I bring him over to the cross ties, and I tie him on the cross ties, and I turn my back for literally two or three seconds to talk to Jennifer. And I'll be darned if I look back and he isn't on the ground with the cross ties on, trying to roll. He went down to roll. His little head scared the crap out of me. His little head was upside down and sideways because it's hanging from the cross ties because he's not that big. So his head's hanging from the cross ties. And all I thought was, oh, my God, he's going to hang himself. And he really was trying to hang himself. You know, but he was going to.
I've never seen you move so fast, Glenn.
Oh,
and you were at lightning speed.
I got the snap off of him quickly, and he was fine. I mean, he looked at me like, what are you doing? I'm trying to roll here. But, you know, and we have where the cross ties are, it's thick sand. It's beautiful, thick sand. And I'm sure he saw that and said, oh, geez, I need this. But it scared the crap out of me. Has anybody else? Now, we've had horses do it because they were colicky or, you know, they were having issues. But I've never had a horse do it just to roll. And obviously, he doesn't get
that
the whole cross tie thing. Doesn't get that, but because he just didn't understand that you could hang yourself when you're a little pony.
It's a good thing he has a very long, very skinny, very, very flexible neck.
Yes, it's a good thing. It's lucky he didn't break it. And the problem is, you know, we have
one.
Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we have breakaway cross ties, but he's not big enough to break them.
No, he probably couldn't break him. When I put the weight tape on him, he was 194 pounds.
Yeah, he's probably at about 250, I would say. But, you know, still, he's just not strong enough or big enough to break it.
Let's not challenge that. But he was a good boy when we drove him, though. He went out for an adventure walk yesterday.
He was pretty insulted, though, when immediately after he rolled while trying to hang himself in the cross ties, it brought him out and had to hose him off again. That, he thought, was pretty insulting. He was like, wait a minute here.
Injury.
I just rolled for a reason. But yeah, we drove him outside the shed row this time, outside the barn, and for the first time, and he was really good.
We walked all the way out. There's a little path that goes out through the farm out here. We walked all the way out through the path, across a mud puddle, And we had to go past a very, very scary, friendly neighbor who was gardening. That was a little terrifying, but we got past that. And we turned around and we came back. And, of course, it started to thunderstorm on us on the way back. And PT voluntarily began to trot while we were ground driving. So I had to jog in the pouring down rain behind the pony through the mud. Yeah, that was fun.
It's the first time he's trotted in the lines, though, so that was fun. That was fun to see him trot his little baby trot.
Yeah, he can trot.
Yeah, he can do it. Doesn't look graceful at this point, but I wouldn't say there's a lot of extension there. That'll happen later.
No, not a lot of movement. It's more of a kind of a shuffly trot, yeah.
And we had a very horsey weekend. We went over to, we got to get to our first guest here, but later on in the show, I'll tell you, we went over to see Wendy and Judy, our friend Judy, at Grand Oaks Resort down near the Villages here in Florida, which is about an hour south of Ocala. And they had a little driving show, so we'll tell you about that a little bit later on. But you have to introduce our first guest.
Our first guest this morning is co-host of the Western Radio Show.
Horseshoes. Think horseshoes, Jennifer.
No. Oh, horseshoes. That's right. What was I thinking? Tammy. Tammy's not here yet. Oh, this is a pre-recorded little bit that we thought we'd share with you guys because it was so much fun. I got to record some tips with Becky Bass of Centaur Fours the other day, and we're doing some tips about horseshoes, not farriery, but horseshoes, because there's all kinds of different details about horseshoes that are both interesting and useful to know about. So we got together and had a little chat. She works for Centaur Forge and has for many, many years. And Centaur Forge, which was founded in 1960, are out of Wisconsin. They sell farrier supplies and blacksmithing supplies. And the two are not the same. I believe that's in one of the tips. I'm not sure which one, the difference between farrier supplies and blacksmithing supplies. But they are a retail store. You don't have to be a farrier to buy products from them. So you can buy things. You can just call them on the phone and buy things or walk in the store. So they're a horseshoe store, for lack of a better term. So this is what we chatted about a little bit about the add-ons that horseshoes have.
I guess somebody has to make the
little bits and pieces.
Somebody has to make the end bills,
somebody
right?
Somebody has to make horseshoes.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, here we go.
I'm here with Becky Bass of Centaur Forge, who has been supplying farrier and blacksmithing supplies since 1960. Not Becky personally, but the company. And today's chat is going to involve some of the more common add-on features available in horseshoes. Okay, Becky? Help me out a little bit with what all those little gadgets are and what's their function.
Okay, well, the studs are mainly if you're looking for more traction, and you would need those in certain competitions, and they do have rules and regulations in every competition as to what kind of stud you can have, how tall it can be, and things like that.
So a stud is also what some people call caulks, is that right? Am I using the right word?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
And you can have a screw-in stud or a drive-in stud, or you could just have a tungsten carbide pin.
Ooh, that sounds wicked.
Yeah. Ooh. Actually, it's actually the simplest one.
Really?
The carbide pin, yeah, it would be just something that you could drill a hole towards the heel of the horseshoe, and then you would just pound that in, and it just gives that little extra tension, traction. And you don't have to do, like, the tapping and the threading and all of these other things. And they do not stick up too far above your shoes, so you're not tearing up the road and the dirt and the grass and everything. They're about the simplest, and they are a really good way to get a little extra traction without going through a whole lot of work.
And what are they called again?
They're tungsten carbide pins.
Pins. That's interesting. I don't know that I've ever taken note of a farrier using them. I'm going to have to quiz the farrier next time I see him and look at a horseshoe with those in there. So that's sort of snow tires at the most basic level for your horse.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
And that when you want to get more intricate, then they add on borium or carbide or drill tech, all these other things that they actually have to heat up the shoe and weld it to. Those are the more expensive add-ons.
So which is the most, as far as traction adding devices, I guess there are toe grabs, and the toe grabs, you only see those on aluminum shoes, or are toe grabs something that you would see on a steel shoe as well?
Mostly aluminum shoes will have what they call a toe grab. There are shoes that have toe and heel cocks, and those are built into the steel shoes, but they look different than the toe grab that you would see on an aluminum shoe.
So for folks out there who do not have racehorses whose hooves they look at on a regular basis, because that's where you see them most, what does a toe grab look like?
It goes right at the toe of the foot, and it probably is about an inch to an inch and a half long, and it just looks like a bump on the toe of the horseshoe. Like when they formed the horseshoe, it just has this extra bump coming down so that it has a little bit more traction.
Uh-huh. So, and you can only see that when you look at the horseshoe after you've picked the horse's foot up. It's not something that sticks out outside anywhere, right?
No, it'll sink down into the dirt and things. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you're going to see on the outside of the hoof wall or anything.
Okay. Got it. So we've got toe grabs for traction. Now, if you were to have a toe grab on a steel shoe, it would be an integral part of the shoe as well, and that it wouldn't be removable, am I right?
Correct.
Okay, and then if you have heel grabs, what does a heel grab look like? If I was to pick up a horse's foot that was wearing a horseshoe with a heel grab on it, what would I see?
The rest of the shoe is going to be flat, but at each heel, there is going to be a raised part again. It's almost like the toe grab, but it's at the heel. It's just the shoe at the heel is going to be maybe a quarter of an inch or less thicker than the rest of the flat shoe.
Aha, and I think way back in the day that they used to call those calks in Europe. C-A-U-L-K-S, maybe? Okay, okay. Now I'm getting the hang of it now, so you can have those. Got it. And that's something that I have seen on draft horses that are being used in the woods to bring in lumber and the like?
Yes.
Got it. You're not going to see them on your average show horse?
No, not unless you're going into some really rough terrain that you want to make sure that you got a little bit of extra traction.
Got it. So here's a tricky one. And I, there's a lot of folks that get confused. Fullering or a fullered shoe. Would you be able to explain to me what a fuller is in a horseshoe? And don't tell me that that's when the box is full, because that's not going to cut it.
It's when the shoe is full. That's what it
there
is.
There we go. Smarty.
No, actually, fullering is just that groove where the nail holes go.
Oh.
That would be so when it... Back in the day, of course, you know, and there's probably a lot of farriers out there who still make their own shoes. When they fuller them, that's where they put that groove in where the nail holes sit.
Oh, so is that there to allow the nail head to sit flush with the horseshoe? Is that what it's for?
Yes, and then you also have, like, rim shoes, which also are another way to get more traction for the horse. The rim would be where it goes all the way around, and it actually kind of comes up to a point.
Oh, yes, yes. We used to put those on our event horses. We used a lot of rim shoes, and back in the day we called them fullered shoes, but rim shoe makes sense in that groove or that fullering is on the entire diameter of the shoe from heel all the way around to the other heel, right?
Yep, that is correct.
And then the leading edge of that groove, the edge of the groove closer to the front of the horse, sticks out a little bit taller than the trailing edge of the groove. Am I right?
Correct.
I got a gold star for me.
Very much so.
Now, our last little add-on that you frequently see in horseshoes are clips. So help us out with what clips are and why they're on a horseshoe.
Well, clips would be for the horseshoe to help line it up, make sure everything's in its proper place. There are quarter clips, and then there are toe clips.
Mm-hmm.
The toe clips, most people, if you use a toe clip, the nice thing with that is that it's at the toe. it, you know, you line up your shoe, make sure it's properly balanced and everything. And when the foot is growing, it has a room to expand out on both sides.
Oh.
So with the toe clip, it's kind of nice because you don't have to worry about, you know, the toe getting, or the foot getting too compressed.
So a toe clip, generally speaking, that's on a shoe on a front foot, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can also have them on hind feet for, like, draft horses. Very rarely do you see them on a regular, you know, hind foot on a regular, you know, like warm blood or anything like that.
Yeah, unless you're extra large army surplus size, you're not going to have a toe clip on your hind foot.
Correct.
Got it. I can deal with that. Now, quarter clips, help me out with that. Quarter clips sounds more involved.
No, it's not really that much more involved. It's just that they're going on the quarters of the horse's foot. So there's going to be two clips, one on the left, one on the right, and the toe is exposed. Put the clips on there to help keep the horseshoe on more securely. It helps the farrier line up the shoes more correctly. There's all actually more purposes towards the clips than beyond what I could even go into now.
You seem to see a lot of horses with clips on their horseshoes. So obviously they're really helpful for lots of different things, or there are a lot of horses with the same problem, one of the two.
Most of the time it's just the farriers prefer to do it that way. And there are farriers out there who prefer never to have clips on the horse's foot, just because they believe that the horse's foot grows out better.
Oh, interesting. So, like most things in the horse world, there is a division of opinions.
That is correct.
Cool. So are there other little add-ons that I don't even know about that you can tell us about, top secret add-ons?
If you're going into traction and on the bottom of the horse's foot, there's a ton, but for just tractions, you've got the boring and the carbrace, everything and the studs and all of those things. That's pretty much all I can think of, unless you're going towards the horse's foot, covering the frog, for covering the pads and, you know, anything like that.
So. Well, now, yeah, that's a whole book right there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
In fact, I've read several of our books that we have, and there are so many controversies, just like with the clips. Some people believe in them, some people don't, mm-hmm. And you can read 10 different books and get 10 different opinions.
Well, that's the way it works in the horse world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but it's nice that most of the farriers can agree to disagree.
Shoo, thank goodness, or we'd be having some kind of a civil war, wouldn't we?
That's right.
War between the farriers. Well, thank you once again, Becky, for stopping by and spending a little time with us and helping us understand all those little add-ons that our horseshoes can have. Tell folks how they can get a hold of Centaur Forge and where they can find them online.
You can visit us on our website at centaurforge.com, and that's CentaurForge.com, or you can give us a call at 1-800-666-9175.
Awesome. See you next time, Becky.
All right. Thank you, Jan. Have a great day.
Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier, or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek. Coach Jen is here with me this morning, and Jamie is off visiting her dad in Georgia. Well, we have another host of
the Horse Radio Network, coming on with us next to say hi. She hasn't been here in a while, and she's had some exciting developments. And I'll remind all the new listeners, Tammy Sarantz is the host of the Western Radio Show, and she was in a pretty bad car accident here a while back and had a tough road and a major surgery on her head, and had a tough road coming back from that over the past year, year and a half. And she's on her way to recuperation and a comeback in her career as a mounted shooter. Good morning, Tammy.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
All right, how you doing, Tammy?
I'm great. You'd be surprised. I'm already up, and I've already worked a couple horses, and I'm already in the office.
Tammy's not known for being a morning person, and Jennifer said to me this morning, is Tammy actually going to make it? And I said, I have no idea. So when you sent me that email that said you were awake, I told Jennifer right away, Tammy is awake. So we knew that you were going to show up.
Well, you know what helps that? Like, ever since my surgery, the back of my head is really, really sensitive. So I always have to sleep on my side facing to the left. That's just the way the surgery made the back of my head. So when I wake up and if I sit too long awake on my head, I'll get a headache. So it's actually, that's why I'm up so early every morning now.
Because you have to be. It's not because you want to be, right?
Yes, it's like the perfect built-in alarm system. Awake, you're out of bed. I just hate it.
How long were you actually out that you could not ride a horse from the car accident on?
Well, I was supposed to show in the car accident was January, the end of January in 2012, and I was supposed to show that weekend, and I couldn't. So that was kind of where it stopped. My first competition back was about a month ago, a month and a half ago. So that's how long it was since I couldn't compete. But after the surgery, I'd say maybe 3 or 4 months ago, I was able to get back on a horse, and I'm just supposed to be walking for 5 minutes every second day. But you know horse people, Glenn.
Yes.
You know?
Typical horse girl.
Anyway, yes, all my friends keep joking, and they said if they add all my times up in my competitions, it's less than 5 minutes, so I'm still in good shape.
That's true. They're very fast.
So, my horses really helped me get back in the saddle a couple of months ago, and I've been getting them fit, which has been helping me get fit. So we've kind of been stepping it back up together. So, you know, it's been a good year and a half since I was able to walk into the competition ring.
Now, we talked to you, I don't know that when the last time we actually talked to you here on the morning show was, but you had this surgery, it was right after the surgery, I believe. You had this surgery on the back of your head. Basically, they cut a nice cross into the back of your head. And
yes, think of it as the letter T for Tammy.
There you go. Was there something that, because of the surgery, was difficult when you got on back of a horse? Did it affect you in any balance or any way like that?
Yeah, it did. The balance was an issue for me, and I had done some yoga trying to work on that balance. But you know, the biggest thing for me, after you ride horses for as long as we do, Glenn, and everything's second nature. I mean, a horse drops its shoulder, you lift it in and you lift it in the turn. You put your inside leg. That stuff is just so muscle memory. And when I got back on, I really kind of sat there and I'm like, well, how do I work a horse? You know, I mean, I really think about what I'm doing and every single aid I'm giving that horse, because it just didn't come natural anymore. And that was really sad for me, actually.
Yeah. Well, I imagine.
Having to rethink everything again.
Well, and, you're in a sport, too, that requires on you to be, you know, requires some precision, because you're a mounted shooter. You're going very fast. You're shooting at balloons, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of coordination there. That's what I thought might have been the biggest problem, mm-hmm. is that coordination and that instinct, because you truly are running on instinct and muscle memory when you're doing mounted mm-hmm. shooting.
You are, and I've done a lot of slow work, which has kind of helped me get everything back together again. But, you know, one of the biggest things I think I struggled with was strength, because after my surgery, they did cut into all my neck muscles and the muscles in the back of my head, and I still am to this point where I shouldn't be lifting anything. So I've gone kind of a year and a half since the surgery, or actually, it was in, so it's only been half a year since the surgery, but even with the accident, I couldn't lift anything. So having to hold that pistol out, although it doesn't seem heavy, it is really, really heavy for me, and it's kind of taking a toll on me. So I'm trying to get strong again as well and build up some endurance. So that was definitely, you know, if you sit around the house for long enough, you're going to lose whatever right. fitness you had.
Right, exactly. And did you have a, so you didn't have a, your gun maker make you a special aluminum lightweight gun?
You know, I, as superstitious as I am, Glenn, I was not going to change guns.
You are doing something, though. You have become quite a trendsetter in the shooting world in that, thank God, and we're very happy about this, you're wearing a helmet now. And that's just not customary in the shooting world.
It is very not customary. And I'll have to fess up and tell you a story, Glenn. I went to my first competition, and I was quite sick when I got there. I wasn't feeling very well. I was probably stressed out because it was my first competition back, and I'm quite competitive, so you know, I was always thinking about that. And I went in and I told Vernon, my fiance, I said, you know, I'm not wearing my helmet. I don't feel good. It's really, really hot. It's just going to make me not feel good. Really, what I was doing is making a bunch of excuses so I didn't have to wear my helmet. And I managed to get out of it for a couple of runs, and I was running home from the third barrel, and my horse tripped and went halfway down, Glenn. And it seriously, it shook me, it scared me, because all I'm thinking was all the work I've done to get back to where I am. And I won the ladies' championship that day, but I didn't feel good about it. But the next day I went out and I said, you know, not cool is not a good excuse for not wearing my helmet. You know, the tears that I've cried in physical therapy, the surgery, everything that's happened, people don't understand that. So I'm just going to wear my helmet. So I went out the next day for the competition, and I wore my helmet, and I won. I beat all the boys, and I won the high overall because I rode with so much more confidence because I'm like, okay, if something happens, I could break a leg or an arm, but my head, I'm good. You know? And it was amazing the difference because I thought I would ride better without it because that's what I've always done. And then I went without it, didn't like it, put it back on and won, you know, the whole thing because I rode with so much confidence. So that was kind of a lesson I had to teach myself.
Well, we're glad you
did.
But it
was very interesting, and it was different than what I thought. So, yeah, since then, every competition, I have been wearing my helmet. I took the visor off, so I put a cycle helmet, and I'm going to get some bullet stickers or something to put on the side.
There you go. How about those bullet holes? You know those bullet hole stickers you can get as pranks?
That's for. Yeah,
there you go.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I think that would be awesome.
I'm very proud of you. You went back last weekend. You know, you went last weekend to this show, and you were telling me that you went in there, and everybody was sort of like, you know, you're multi world champion, and people used to fear you when you came in the ring and competing towards them.
Yeah.
You know. Yep. And then you went in there and you were telling me that, you know, people were like, oh, Tammy's back, you know, sort of feeling sorry for you. And then you kicked all of their asses and all of a sudden they weren't feeling bad for you anymore. So.
Well, I had gone to a couple of shoots. I've been to four shoots before that one and they were little ones. And to be honest, Glenn, it was quite easy competition. There's a couple of good people, but, you know, it's just a small backyard deal. This was a major championship and there was 110 shooters there. And I told myself, you know, Tammy, just play your game and you want to get points for world. So just don't have any penalties and qualify for world. And that way you can go, you know, that was my plan. And I thought, well, maybe if I stay penalty free and all the other girls mess it up, then I'll be in the shape. So
you can always count on the others messing it up. Yeah.
I'm fighting with myself. So I did go out there and everybody, my first run, everyone came down the alleyway with me and everyone was cheering me on and everyone was just so amazingly supportive, Glenn. I had my first run, ran an 11.9. It was a really good run. And I came out, I was almost in tears because it was just such an emotional hurdle and everybody had kind of yelped and it was amazing. And that night, you know, I'd made the finals off the pro class. What we call the eliminator. So I had gone back and I looked at the payout. Now they took the five top ladies and they're only paying two. So I'm just going to hope everyone misses and I get some money. You So I went in and really asked my horse for everything he had. And that was the first time I really felt a part of him and where I used to be, you know, when we were winning everything. And had an unbelievable run, and I outran the other girls by about 400ths of a second. And I got to do my little victory lap, and everyone was standing up and cheering for me. And it was just, you know, I tell someone it was kind of like every now and then you need a bone to keep going.
Right, right.
And that was for me. It was kind of like, you know, you're back and you won something. And I said to my fiance, I felt like I've got some respect back. And he said to me, what made you think you lost any in the beginning? But, you know, that inside voice you have always telling you you have to prove yourself, you know. So I think for me that it was an instance where I could say I'm back and everyone's happy and I've still got a little bit of what I had before. I didn't dream of winning the whole thing, but after I thought, I won the Saturday night deal. That's good enough for me. You know, if I drop a gun on the next run, then I'm still a happy camper, you know. So I went out and actually came into the last run with 4 second lead and just kind of took my time on the last one. Didn't want to make any penalties. Didn't want to mess it up. And I won. And it was just, you know, once you've gone through a head injury or something like that, I could say winning a championship like that was like winning the world all over for me again, because I mean, I was so thrilled and I was so happy. And I think only you and the people around you know how hard you work to get something. And there's days where I've sat there and I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I've had the arguments with my poor fiance saying, I don't want to be the role model. I don't want to wear a helmet. I don't want to do all this stuff that I'm supposed to be doing. And he has been such a rock for me. And he came up and he said, listen, you know, you'll get there and you'll get back. And don't even think about being a role model. You have to wear that helmet because I love you. And you've got to look after yourself and you've worked so hard. And that's just something extra that people can watch when you're looking after yourself. And so there's been a lot of arguments with myself.
Well, you know,
try and get to where I was.
I watched that video of you winning there, and first of all, you look cool in your helmet, and secondly, that, you know, it really was the Tammy that we've seen in the past, who really was there, you know, as a unit with her horse, and there was just no hesitation. You were all out, and you know, didn't come close to missing a balloon. So it was nice to watch again.
It was real nice, and then I've kind of got recharged now, and I kind of got home, and I got my calendar out, and I put all the events down, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
let's give some props to that fiance of yours, because, you know, here's a guy. I'm going to give him some props here, because he should be get Horse Husband of the Year award. You know, he met you. How? It wasn't long before you had the accident, was it?
No, it wasn't. And I was doing a TV interview in my arena, and I was talking to the host, and I kind of made a joke, and I was like, well, we were just dating, but I guess it goes by the fact that you break it, you buy it.
Because that's exactly what happened. You weren't dating for long when the accident happened.
Exactly what happened. We were very long, and, you know, not that he caused the accident. It was someone who went through a red light 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
We didn't see it. So, but it was kind of like the accident. And after that, I couldn't really live by myself. So he took me in, and I was kind of like the guest that never left, I guess.
So, well, if she's not going to leave, I might as well marry her, huh?
Exactly.
Get something out of this relationship.
Bless his heart. Poor guy. He's been really good, Glenn. He really has. And, you know, you know, girls, we can all get a little itchy when we are unhappy. So I'd have to say, you know, when I wasn't riding and when I was seeing everyone else ride on Facebook, I hated Facebook right then. he kind of kept me going. And it was someone for me to hang on to and really kind of, you know, when you have something that you do and something forces you to stop that, you don't know who you are anymore. And that's where I was at. And I was a soul. I mean, I really, I just didn't know what to do, and I didn't know where I belonged, and I didn't know if I was ever going to get back in a saddle, and I just hated it. And it was really hard. So I have to say I wasn't the best roommate right there.
Well, you know,
it's tough for us.
Well, you know, it's and you went through what a lot of professional athletes go through when they go through that downtime or they get injured. You all those emotions, all those things that you went through are the same things that other professional athletes go through. Whether they caused the problem themselves or not, you know, it's the same emotions, the same things. Yeah,
it is. And I think the best thing that helped me, whenever I went to my neurologist for a checkup and my surgeon, there was a same gentleman who had the surgery, same surgery day. And we didn't talk the first couple of times. We just went through the process at the same time. Well, a couple of them, I went back for another checkup, and he was in there, and he said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, good." And we kind of got to talking, and we talked for about half an hour while we waited for our appointments. But talking to him and feeling the same feelings he went through, the same, you know, tinglings in the back of his head that he's having, I'm having, and I think that was one of the best support I had, was people who had the surgery that I latched onto, that I was like, okay, you know, did this happen when this happens to you? So I think having that support system is really important.
Well, Tammy, thank you so much for coming on and filling everybody in and catching us up on your comeback here. We wish you the best of luck. And, of course, you can hear Tammy over on the Western Radio Show with Alan every week at westernradioshow.com. So if you want more Tammy, head on over there. Thank you.
And the videos are on my Texas Shooting Horses Facebook page if anyone wants to watch the competition videos. They're up there.
So they just search for Texas Shooting Horses, right, on Facebook?
Yep, it's a business Facebook page, so they can just go on there and they can see videos from the competition and photos and all that kind of stuff. So it's all on there.
Very good. Well, we're going to be back here in a minute. Thank you, Tammy. We have a song coming up in honor of Tammy called "How's Texas Treating You" by Templeton Thompson. I thought it was appropriate. See you, Tammy.
Much time for riding. Do you ever drive out to the Red Ridge anymore? And saddle up that painted mare that you call Peaches. I still have that pair of chaps you always wore. Maybe it would be best if I left well enough alone. I'd just like to hear some news from what used to be my home. I was hoping you could tell me, maybe say it isn't true. It wasn't flooding all along the Guadalupe. I heard you had a long, hard winter. You know we did too. I remember those blue northers blowing through. And Tennessee's been treating me okay. Oh, and by the way, how's Texas treating you? Hey. Something magic about the smoke is in the springtime. You ought to see those mountain streams this time of year. Something's missing when I take a look around me. You know they've never seen bluebonnets growing here. But don't get me wrong, I don't regret all the choices that I've made. But I'll admit, without you, it just doesn't feel the same. I was hoping you could tell me, maybe say it isn't true. Wasn't fighting all along the Guadalupe. I heard you had a long, hard winter. You know we did too. I remember those blue northers blowing through. And Tennessee's been treating me okay. And by the way, babe, how's Texas treating you?
that was Templeton Thompson with How's Texas Treating You. We appreciate Templeton. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Coach Jen. We are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific all-natural products at omegaalphaequine.com. Jennifer, I guess we've had some, we have a Facebook update for everybody.
We do. We've gotten quite a few comments. I posted on the Facebook page, have you ever had a horse roll while they were on the cross ties?
And, like my little pony gotten, tried over the weekend.
Yes. He didn't just try, he succeeded.
Yeah. For those of you that weren't here earlier in the show, we gave my pony a bath, and the little rescue pony, 12 and a half hand Hackney, and put him on the cross ties. And I turned around for 2 seconds, and when I looked back, he was hanging by his neck upside down trying to roll because he had just gotten a bath, and we have this soft sand. And I guess he saw the soft sand and went, ah, that's too good to resist. Scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
So what are others saying? Have anybody else had that happen?
We've had several people have had horses that have done it when they were colicky, which is something I've experienced before.
Right.
We had one, Julie posted that she had one do that and break their shoulder blade.
Well, and I can see that because it would just the way the neck is and everything upside down. It's like
we have one, Doreen's horse laid down and rolled while she was trying to ride it. Apparently the old owners that she purchased the horse from neglected to tell her that the horse did that.
Yeah, we've had, we've heard many people have had horses that do that, saddle and all. It's
like, yes. So lots of comments, having a lot of fun with that one.
Very good. Very good. Well, a couple news stories here before we get to Leslie from Horse Nation with her Monday Wacky World of Horses report. A couple things that happened over the weekend. One is, we had talked a little bit about the whole slaughterhouse thing. We try not to dwell on that topic because it's so depressing, but there was an Iowa company that was planning on opening a slaughterhouse. Well, the Humane Society and other groups have filed suit in federal court to stop the opening of these slaughterhouses in Iowa and New Mexico, claiming that their plants permits were invalid, and they really went at it a different way trying to get it done. Well, a federal judge did rule on Friday that the Iowa company cannot start slaughtering horses, and that that there needs to be additional hearings to confirm and prove that there's an adequate environmental review of the process. And what the Humane Society was saying is that the argument that we've always made is that horses are not bred to be eaten in this country. So they're given all kinds of butte and all kinds of other drugs here. And, you know, those things are not necessarily good for humans. So that's the route they went, and the federal judge agreed with them and has issued a stay at this point, as for the Iowa ones out there. So at this point, that's where we're at. The lawsuit did work to get the stay done, and now there's going to be additional review, apparently. And hopefully the Congress will act in the meantime and just get this done. There is a bill on a different front, but for the horses' welfare. There's a bill, Senate bill, that now has been introduced by Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire and Mark Werner, Democrat of Virginia. It's a bipartisan bill called Prevent All Soaring Tactics that is meant to toughen up the soaring practices that we've heard so much about and we've talked about here on this show. And what they're trying to do is make it a criminal penalty as opposed to just a self-policing thing, because obviously the self-policing wasn't working. They have 140.
No.
They have 140 bipartisan co-sponsors of the bill as well. So over on the House side. So I think this has a good chance of passing. Why would? I mean, who's going to object to that, Republicans or Democrats? It's one that, should pass pretty easily.
It's kind of an easy sell. Yeah, it is.
So now if we can just get the Congress also working on the horse slaughter issue, we'll be in good shape. But that's the update on those two stories. A couple other things. An equestrian event. You know, when we were covering the World Equestrian Games that was coming to Lexington, we did the World Equestrian Games radio show, so we were privy to information in the planning of that event that we weren't allowed to talk about, or we chose not to talk about, let me put it that way. not everything was hunky-dory or rosy in the planning and implementation of the World Equestrian Games. Some of it was covered in the press, some of it wasn't. And that's true when you're planning any type of large event like that. There's politics involved and there's money involved. And when you put the two together, a mess ensues. And it's good to know that we aren't the only country that has that happen, because down in Rio, they have canceled what was supposed to be a test event for the equestrian competitions that was supposed to happen. It was the Athena Onassis Horse Show that was supposed to be going on October 25th through the 27th, which would have had 100 participants and would have been broadcast live to more than 80 countries, because it was going to be a test event. And what they do at those test events, we had them for WEG too, is they just test the operations, the volunteers, the logistics, and make sure everything's right. Working, make sure that the judges know what they're doing. You know, it's just testing everything.
Yeah. Well, they test everything, and it's kind of a unique situation in that the event is a regular event, because this is the one that they canceled is a regularly occurring event. It's nothing super special. It's not special on the schedule or anything, but they add all the extra paperwork and flaming hoops that they would have at the Olympics. They put those in place. So the people who are participating in that regular annual event have to abide by Olympic rules. So from the competitor's point of view, it's a royal pain in the Rio de Janeiro. But it's absolutely essential for the organization to be able to work out the bugs. So I'm wondering if they cancel the event completely, or they only cancel the aspect of it being a test event. It's going to run as usual as whatever level event it used to be.
They canceled it completely, because they also try and do it at the same venue that the Olympics are going to be at, which would have been the case here. It would be that venue, but apparently they aren't done with construction, and it won't be done in time. And basically the Olympic Committee has blamed the local government and the private contractors that are supposed to be building the stadiums. And so it's out. They're not going to be doing it, at least at this point. I assume in the next they got 2 years. So I assume in the next 2 years, once the stadium's done, they'll be doing a test event. But we're not the only ones that had issues with those kinds of things leading up to a large event like that. It was my point.
Yep,
they're having them.
It's normal operating procedure to have that kind of crap happen.
That's right. That's right. And I think we have Leslie from Horse Nation. Let's check and see. Leslie, are you there?
I am. How are you guys?
Good morning. Leslie is with us every Monday for the Wacky World of Horses report, and we appreciate you joining us. We gave it a name now. Do you like that?
The Wacky World of Horses. I love it.
You now have an official name. We need to get you a bumper music, though, a little theme music like we have for other segments. We need to put that together.
Oh, my gosh. That would be amazing.
We need to do that. We need to have some kind of, you know, weird sound effects, and it can't be normal. That's the only thing. We really have to make it. You know what would be really great for your segment would be some kind of cartoon music from like, the old cartoons.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that would be, you guys work on that. I'll think on it, too, but that would be, oh, my goodness. That would feel super special.
Well, Jennifer, Warner Brothers cartoon would be great, wouldn't it? You know, the old Warner Brothers intro that they used to have at the beginning? That would be terrific.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can't get sued for that, I'm sure. Jennifer.
Like, oh, and now you owe us $100,000. Like, what?
That's right.
Jennifer's going to talk to you here about these first two stories, and then I got one I want to talk to both of you about that you posted.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So I went over this morning and I read the Friday Flicks. And the top picture, I love it, is a halter plate, which looks like it's on the horse's halter. And on the horse, it says Daddy's Paycheck.
Yes. I found that somewhere online on Pinterest or something, and I was like, oh my gosh, perfect. And perfect for the story, because the story was written by she sort of started out as a movie critic, Amanda Ronan, but then she's sort of been spreading out her territory lately to sort of into some sort of celebrity stalkerazzi kind of things. we're sort of, I feel like Horse Nation is kind of like the Us Weekly of the horse world.
Yeah, that's like, a good description, like, oh. Actually. That's a pretty good description, actually.
What's going on with such and such? So I loved that she came up with this story. It was about the super rich set of like young up and coming successful show jumpers. Who is bankrolling them? Because they're not paying for it with their babysitting money. That is for sure.
No.
So Amanda sort of came up with. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm like on the.
Where are you at?
Sorry. A motorcycle just went past. Street. I'm on the street. I got kicked out of my house. But anyway.
That bad, huh?
Anyway, speaking of not homeless people, these super rich kids, who is buying them these horses that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars? So she started looking into it and came up with a list of sort of, I think she called them celebutante equestrians, who figured out like who is writing the checks. Daddy. In most cases, it's daddy. There's, of course, one of the most famous ones is Jessica Springsteen. She, daughter of Bruce, of course, who I think his most recent sort of extravagant purchase for her was that horse Vindicat W, who was on the gold medal show jumping team in London.
That's right. And that was a million-dollar horse, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it was a million-dollar horse.
She's helping to fund that Olympian's career. She did them a favor.
That's right. It's keeping the economy flowing. That's right.
Right. So there's her, Hannah Selleck, who is Tom Selleck's daughter, is also a big equestrian. Reed Kessler, that's one that I've never known quite, obviously.
There's
she
a backstory there, eh? Yeah.
Obviously she's a super successful young rider, went to the London Olympics, is just tearing it up, and she's 18 years old. She's also, I think she's Katie Prudhon's goddaughter, so she sort of grew up, with an Olympic, a legend of the sport coaching her, but she happens to be the daughter of... the guy, I think her dad is sort of a cigarette kingpin.
Magnet.
Who owns Newport, Kent, and True Cigarettes, and make a cool $6.4 billion a year. So, I guess.
Yeah, you can afford a horse or two, Ted.
I wonder if she smokes.
I cannot imagine. I mean, she's an Olympic athlete, and she looks like she's just super ripped, so I can't imagine.
She's very nice, too. She's been in our, we've done interviews with her before on some of the shows, and she's been very nice. I mean.
She seems like just a class act and a hard worker. She strikes me as one of these, she might be privileged, but she doesn't, she knows that, that's not what all it takes. You have to work really hard, too. So
there were some on this list that Jennifer and I had not heard of before. So let's talk about a couple of those because, we've all heard of Springsteen and Selleck and Kessler. Mm-hmm. But Paige Johnson, who I hadn't heard of before, her mother co-founded BET, the Black Entertainment Television. So
Yeah, that was interesting. I hadn't heard of her. And then there was another... Johnson, Daisy Johnson, who no relation, but she's of Johnson & Johnson.
And they own, don't they own a football team? They own the Jets or the Giants or something?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think they own the Jets. Yeah, so there's a minor thing, you know, a little thing. Georgina Bloomberg, of course, has been on our shows, and, you know, everybody knows about her. But Katie Dynan, I didn't know that one at all. Apparently, the daughter of a billionaire hedge fund manager.
Yeah.
Trains in Wellington, by the way, down there in that rich neighborhood with everybody else, I think. And then one I didn't know at all, that Jennifer, you didn't know this one either, Mavis Spencer. That one was a new one for us, too.
Yeah, and I didn't know about her wealthy parents either. I'd never heard of them either.
Yeah, they're apparently Emmy winners and Golden Globe winners. I just never heard of them. Alfre Woodard, Roderick mm-hmm. Spencer. Yeah. I think I may have heard of that Roderick, but... Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the ultimate in the wealthy, we can't leave her out, just bought a $11 million farm in Wellington. Jennifer Gates.
Miss Jennifer Gates.
Yes.
That's right.
She'd be mad if we didn't include her in this list.
I should not be standing out on the street like this.
Yeah, what are you doing anyway?
I'm out of town. I'm visiting my husband's sister in Cincinnati,
and
they're over across the street eating breakfast in the cafe, and I'm over here in the alley.
Well, how dedicated are you? We really appreciate you doing that. And being an alley in Cincinnati is not safe anyway. So,
Well, if it screams, then you guys know.
Okay, we'll call 911 for you. She's in the alley by the diner. And then you go on, and actually the article goes on to talk about some of the other really youngsters that are coming up, and Gwyneth Paltrow's daughter rides, mm-hmm. Kelly Ripa, Matt Lauer's mm-hmm. daughter, you know, just on and on and on. So now the thing that we were talking about this morning is, do you notice a trend here? Every single one of them does jumpers, hunter jumpers.
Yeah, that seems to be where it's at. If you've got money, that's certainly the easiest place to sport to blow it in, I'd say, short of sports racing.
In the interest of fairness, Wiley, I think next week you guys should do a story on the uber wealthy in the reigning business, because I think the list will be just as long, if not longer.
Oh, I had not even thought about that, but I thought you're absolutely right. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, also, I bet there's, like, some daughters of, like, country stars, and, that sounds like, okay, I'm on it. I'll get on it.
Yeah.
That is an interesting one. You can find that over on Horse Nation. Just look for the one titled Friday Flicks, Celebutante Equestrians. And then the next one was what, Jennifer?
On that same note, yeah, I was looking up... Hermes. Is it Hermes? Hermes.
Hermes.
We'll just call it Hermes. I was looking on the Hermes website just to see sort of, you know, it's like, I know that's expensive, but just how expensive is it? This is what, like, during my life, just Googling random questions that come into my head, worst questions that come into my head all day. And, yeah, it's pretty pricey stuff. They've got a hoof pick for $260.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you. A brush, just like a brush for your horse, $355.
Whoa, what's it have, diamonds embedded in it? What's...
No, I mean, it looks like a normal brush to me. I'm sure it's, like, nice, but it's not like, I mean, really, how nice, you know, I don't know.
Wait a minute.
They have...
The hoof pick doesn't even have a brush on it.
Yeah, it's just a crappy little hoof pick.
It must be made of... I want a brush.
Is it made of sterling silver or what?
I don't know. And, I mean,
I just read the ad. I know why. It's not even sterling silver. It's copper nickel. But same thing they make your pennies out of. It's the case is Moroccan goat skin. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
That's $260 easy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I would still lose it in a heartbeat. I would lose it and at the fancy couch it came in. No doubt. Straight away. But yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. They have a pair of spurs that's $910 for regular spurs. You know, whatever.
Let me see what they're made out of before you go on. They are made out of... they're Hermes women's pair of saddle nail spurs, black cowhide and nickeled metal. That's what they make every spur out of, nickeled metal.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They make it sound like it's something special.
Somebody is getting taken for a ride. Oh my goodness. A $500 polo shirt, $930 breeches, $1,000 horse blanket, this is one of my favorites, a $1,600 grooming bag.
Oh my, now what, is that an airplane?
Somebody just cruised by on their motorcycle. Where am I? I'm in the ghetto of, what's going on? Sorry about that.
$1,600 grooming bag. Let me read that description. A Hermes, or however you say that, herringbone grooming bag in chalk chevron canvas, removable inside basket with polyamide lining, adjustable shoulder strap in cowhide and cotton, and Hermes is printed on the side. Now, first of all, polyamide and some of these words they just made up.
Right.
They're not even words. So they could charge more.
I mean, really, what you're paying for here is the ability to show up ringside with your grooming bag, you know, for your fancy, you know, $100,000 horse and have a bag that says Hermes on it.
Hey, I see how you and I could make some money. You know, we don't make much money doing radio and blogging, so I have an option here. You know how they're always copying the Coach bags in China and they're selling the knockoffs? We could sell knockoffs Hermes bag for like $100, sell a million of them.
Oh, my gosh. You're brilliant.
Yes. We got to get together on that one.
You are brilliant. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
That's hard to believe. These are really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, so I just, you know, and then it goes, they have a $10,000 saddle. They have a $2,000 riding coat. And I think, you know, the saddle is probably actually really nice, but... I don't know. I think
$10,000
the story is. It looks pretty. I think the moral of the story is somebody out there is getting taken for a ride with their by this company.
That is true. Hey, we won't have time to do the next one, but I want to talk about this next week when Jamie's back. Okay.
You did, and
I'm usually the one writing the stories about relationships, but I tell you, you upped me on this one. You did a great job. It's called, you did an article called Select Your Mate Like You Select Your Off-the-Track Thoroughbred. And you had 10 points here, the top 10 list. And I got to tell you, it was excellent. It's very well done. And I think next Monday...
Lauren Nethery who wrote it. She's a Vending Nation writer. I know it seems like something that would come out of my cemented brain, but...
Well, Lauren did a great job. Next Monday, let's make this the topic we talk about, and we'll go through all 10 with you and Jamie, and it should be interesting to talk about that. Hey, you know, you referenced in this article, or Lauren did, equestriansingles.com, which is a website, yes, and they actually helped us out on our first several... our first several Valentine's episodes of the Stable Scoop show. They would come on and we would actually get people on who met and got married from meeting on Equestrian Singles. It does work. Yeah, it does work.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. You know, you're just kind of like already going ahead and weeding out, you know, the one deal breaker that is
that are horses.
The number one, yeah. You aren't into horses. You aren't into me.
You know, that goes back to that old argument. You know, do you marry a horse guy or not? You know, that goes back to that whole argument. Because right now, Jennifer's probably mad I got this little pony because now I'm spending all the available tack money. So,
Yeah.
That's a problem with that. Well, let's talk about that next week. Let's put that on the list when Jamie's back. She'll have a blast with this one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you get off the street. Don't get mugged. Go across the street now. Be safe and be careful. You are in Cincinnati, and we have been there, and there are very few good parts of Cincinnati, so be careful there.
Okay.
I apologize.
Thank you guys for having me.
See ya. I apologize to all our listeners from Cincinnati. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a wonderful city, except the part that Leslie's now in. That's not so good.
This back alley.
Yes.
Downtown.
You didn't scream, so I'm assuming a rat hasn't wandered by at this point. So.
Woo, there goes another. What is that? Fire truck.
Bye, Leslie.
I should probably let you go before the ambulance and cop cars are behind it show up.
See
okay.
ya.
Bye. Talk soon.
Well, that was good of her on vacation to call her.
Yeah, my face always hurts by the time Wiley leaves.
I know. She's fun. A lot of fun. And they do. It is sort of like the Us magazine, their website. It is kind of like that for the horse world. I mean, when you just go down and look at the headlines, oh, crap, moment of the day. And then you've got getting back on your horse. Do you really have to? Six things to look for when you're instructor shopping. Horse haikus. 10 teeps for keeping your horse cool, your horse, me and red. I mean, it just sounds like that. It's that kind of thing. Celebutants. And they make up words too. So just like we do here.
Yes, they do. I love that about Horse Nation.
Yes.
Yes. Make up the words as they go.
I'm doing it all the time and get crap for it. Why shouldn't they join the club? So it's like, Jamie's always like, that ain't a word. A couple other news stories. For you football fans out there, Bill Parcells, who you'll recognize, the football fans, Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl winning coach of the New York Giants, was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Saturday. And you say, why am I bringing up Bill Parcells on a horse show? Because he owns racehorses now. That is what he has done in his retirement, his own racehorses. He spends a lot of his time up at Saratoga and apparently annoys the hell out of his trainers. And spends a lot of time. He says that trainers are a lot like coaches, so a lot like football players and coaches. He said some of them like to train and some of them are just lazy.
Is he talking about the horse or the trainer?
I think he was talking about the horses, actually. But some of them are really good and some of them don't like to compete. I know all these trainers, some of them talk just the way I used to talk like a coach, which means there's probably lots of swearing going on there. But He apparently is a funny story about him. He used to have to chill out before the games. So what he used to do when in the warmer weather now, because it was New York, he was a New Jersey guy, and he used to love on game day, before the game, he'd get up early in the morning, and he'd actually drive to the beach at Jersey Shore, and he would go to the boardwalk, and he would walk around. Sometimes he would lay down on a bench and nap for a couple hours by the ocean. All the police apparently knew him, so they knew he was okay. And he used to then, right before he left to go back to the stadium, he used to jump in the ocean, get cooled off and refreshed, and then he used to drive back and do the game. But that's what he used to do to relax before a game. Everybody knew he wasn't going to be around before the game. He was at the shore.
I'm questioning this because we have lived up north, and football season starts in what month?
Well, September? They start early. The first football game was last night, so they do start early. And
so he didn't do this very often, because by the time September rolls around and you go for a dip in the ocean in New Jersey...
Apparently he said he liked the cold water, so woke him up and got him ready for the game. And he said...
Gosh.
Now, this was before the days of... this was before the days of cell phones. Apparently, there was a payphone right there on the beach, and everybody in the Giants organization knew the phone number of the payphone, and that's how they got a hold of him if they needed to reach him before game day, when he was at the boardwalk. He was hanging around by the payphone. So that's Bill Parcells. Look, I am the only horse show in the world today that got a Bill Parcells reference in. That's for sure.
Yeah, that was a stretch, Glenn. Thank you. Yeah.
Hey,
glad you did that.
We did have a little bit of a sad news, didn't we, in the racing front this weekend?
Yeah, it did. A lot of folks, even outside of the racing community, are familiar with Unbridled Song. race sire and highly successful race horse. They had to put him down, I guess it was over the weekend, at the age of 20. He was a gray horse and apparently developed some fast-growing tumors inside of his skull and was showing some ill effects of that tumor, and they had to have him put down. He is a highly successful sire. A lot of top race horses by Unbridled Song.
I think he sired like 730 winners. It was just a huge number, $90 million.
Yeah, crazy number.
$90 million yeah. His progeny earned. Just an incredible number. He was one of the most prolific sires and throwing out stakes winners.
Yeah.
100 career stakes winners as a sire. That's, you know, that's a lot. So, that's a lot. Yeah, that's sad. That's sad. And I'm sure that farm, you know, that TaylorMade is certainly going to miss having Unbridled Song there at the farm.
Yeah.
There was one other story we have to talk about before we wrap up today, and that is, it was on the Daily Mail this morning. Jennifer's going to post a link to it on Facebook with some of the most dramatic pictures you've ever seen. It was at a county fair horse show in England, and what happened was this horse with a young rider, it looks like, decided to bolt and run away and headed towards the fence, this little temporary fence they had up on the edge of the parking lot. Well, the horse got to the fence, made an abrupt stop, and the rider went over the top and into a Land Rover. I mean, just dramatic pictures. A photographer caught the whole thing. Well, right beside the Land Rover was this baby carriage with a baby in it, you know, a little push carriage. And the rider took out the push carriage. The baby fell out of the carriage. And you could see the rider in the one picture trying not to land on the baby. I mean, here's a rider that's just been dumped into a Land Rover and then falls on a baby carriage. The baby's underneath the rider, and the rider's trying to avoid, you know, hurting the baby, and did. Nobody was hurt. Horse, rider, baby, everybody was fine. But what dramatic pictures they were. Oh, my God. It's just a bizarre, and the photographer got it all. He must have had it on a just automatic shoot because it was.
Yes. Yes. And wow. Especially that first shot, the first picture they show. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the rider really hit the Land Rover hard. It was.
Yeah. That left a mark. She did a 360.
But the baby carriage right there just was a series of events that could have gone horribly wrong. I mean, the horse's hooves were like 2 feet from the baby. And the horse was stuck in between this temporary makeshift fencing of some sort. I couldn't even tell. He had one leg on the outside of it and one leg on the inside of it, and he was just kind of stuck there. So, yeah, just a bad situation that could have gone a lot worse. But Jennifer will post the link to it. You have to check out the pictures on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Well, that's it. Thank you, Jennifer, for filling in today. We're not sure when Jamie's coming back to Phoenix, so she'll be back here either Wednesday or Friday, definitely. We'll do Wheel of Trivia on Friday, equitymfg.com, Wheel of Trivia. We'll be back here on Friday, so be sure to join us.
No, Glenn.
Give us a call.
Glenn.
I mean Wednesday. Glenn. Sorry. Yes.
Go back. Rewind.
Yes.
Wednesday's Equity
Wednesday.
MFG Wheel of Trivia.
Thank you. Wednesday.
Don't get people confused.
I'm thinking it's the end of the week already. I'm just ready.
Yeah, you're way ahead of things, aren't you?
Just
yeah.
ready. Is it Thursday yet? So Wednesday will be the Wheel of Trivia. Friday's really bad ads. Jamie will be back at some point. That's the points I was trying to get out. And, of course, remember, tomorrow morning we are live here with Rose from Equus Now on our Tech Talk, our monthly Tech Talk segment of Horses in the Morning. We'll be here all morning live with you talking tech and products and all kinds of good things. So definitely join us tomorrow morning. That's it, everybody. Talk to you later, Jennifer.
See ya.
Don't forget, you can find Jennifer at horsetipdaily.com.
Go to the iTunes store. Get our app.